Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Saturday, April 13th, which means you're listening to a special weekend edition of the podcast featuring the Capitol Recap. To spend more or make deeper cuts, the challenges at the State House as lawmakers deal with Vermont's housing shortage and its homelessness crisis. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
Most lawmakers walked into the State House in January with the understanding they'd need to address Vermont's crushing housing shortage and its homelessness crisis. As the 2024 legislative session nears its finish line, though, their preferred tactics for tackling the problem are sometimes at odds with each other. On the one hand, there's spending money on housing programs, and on the other, there's cutting regulations to encourage more housing development. Well, here to tell us more for this week's edition of the Capitol Recap is housing and infrastructure reporter Carly Berlin. Hi, Carly.
Hey, Mitch.
So, Carly, I understand that earlier this month, the House passed a big, ambitious bill aimed at tackling housing affordability. What exactly does the bill set out to do?
This bill, H 829, it sets an intent for Vermont to invest $900 million into housing programs over the next 10 years. Initially for things like supporting renters facing eviction, building up homeless shelter and service capacity, and building more affordable housing. What this bill does is set up new revenue streams for housing programs in the future. Basically, new taxes on higher earners and increased taxes on the purchase of higher value properties. This approach, it's basically House Democrats putting their stake in the ground, saying addressing Vermont's housing crisis, it's going to take a lot more money.
And as I understand it, backers of the legislation argue that a long-term spending commitment, it's basically a way for Vermont to transition away from the motel housing program. Is that right?
Yeah. So for years, lawmakers have voted time and again to extend the stays of unhoused Vermonters in hotels and motels, with supporters arguing that, you know, that's been worth the hefty expense when people have simply nowhere else to go. But they have yet to come up with a long-term plan to stop relying on the hotels so much, which is a common goal for pretty much all lawmakers and for Governor Scott's administration. Proponents of H 829, including housing advocates, say the bill finally provides that blueprint. As more shelter space and affordable units come online, along with greater support services, the state can move more Vermonters out of motels. Here's Representative Teresa Wood, a Democrat from Waterbury.
It's a bona fide plan, something that we haven't had. So is it bold? Yes, it's bold. But we felt we needed bold action in this time.
The House advanced a bill that relaxes state regulations, i.e. the big land use law, Act 250, in some parts of the state, to allow new development to move forward without triggering the law. But Wood says regulatory reform like this alone, it won't provide a track out of homelessness. More money is needed to do that.
Okay, so we've got the House saying we need to spend a lot more to take on the housing and the homelessness issue. Now the bill sits before the Senate. What are that chamber's lawmakers saying about it?
So leading senators are pretty skeptical of this bill. They don't like that it tries to, quote unquote, bind the hands of future legislators, and then it makes big spending asks outside of the budget. They're also wary of raising taxes. But beyond those concerns, there's a more fundamental question here about the tools lawmakers have at their disposal to take on the state's housing crunch. They can direct public money to housing programs, effectively subsidizing the cost of a rental or a home when a household's income won't cover it on its own, more or less the House's approach with 829. And they can loosen regulatory hurdles to building more housing overall, increasing the supply of housing and therefore easing pressure on rents and home prices that have skyrocketed in Vermont in recent years. Now, that's a long-winded way of saying leaders in the Senate, they're intent on tackling the regulatory side this year, and they're not as keen on continuing to spend big money on housing. I talked to Senator Keisha Ram Hinsdale, who chairs the Senate Committee on Economic Development, Housing, and General Affairs. She said the state has invested over $500 million in housing over the last few years with the help of pandemic-era federal aid. Now that that funding is gone and the state's working with a more limited budget, she says now's the time to focus on easing regulations on housing development, like Act 250.
My focus this year is on regulatory reform, because that unties the hands of the rest of our housing developers and providers to provide lower cost housing for all Vermonters.
Now, Ram Hinsdale still supports some investments in housing this year for things like rehabilitating rundown rental housing and upgrading manufactured home communities. Her line of thinking is focus on the regulatory side this year with less funding. It aligns more closely with the priorities of Governor Phil Scott's administration.
Okay, I think I got it. Now, this trade-off, focusing on spending versus regulatory reform, I mean, does it need to be either or? Why can't we think of them as more complementary of each other?
Yeah, I wanted to get the perspective of an expert outside the State House. So I called up Shane Phillips. He's an affordable housing researcher at UCLA. He says he often sees regulatory reform and increased housing subsidies getting pitted against each other, kind of boiling down to a lack of trust sometimes between different political camps that they'll pull through on either side here. But Phillips says both are critical to addressing housing affordability. More subsidies make it easier to build more affordable housing. And he says having less restrictive land use rules makes it possible to build more housing overall. And that keeps housing prices from rising so quickly and allows subsidies to go further.
I think we really just need to move beyond this idea that it's one or the other. It really does need to be both.
So, Mitch, we'll have to see if lawmakers go with a both-and approach or favor one over the other.
Really appreciate you explaining this. Report for America Corps member Carly Berlin covers housing and infrastructure for VT Digger and Vermont Public. Carly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And you can find more coverage from our team of legislative reporters at our website, vermontpublic.org. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you Monday.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.